Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning, friends and family. It does my heart good to see your faces, to hear your voices, because by them, I know that I'm enjoyed. We are 3 weeks into our intergenerational community mini-series focusing on appreciating our kind of community's different ages and stages of life. As we're doing this, we're naming the benefits that we bring. Our scriptural anchor point for this month is Psalm 23. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or navigate in your phone app, that's where we'll be. We've been walking through Psalm 23 and noticing that it speaks to every season of life, every stage, every age that we could possibly go through. Up on the screen, it's kind of how we've divided David's Psalm, Psalm 23, into the different ages and stages. Verses 1 to 3 are for the children. Verse 4 is for adults. Verse 5 is for old age. And verse 6 is for end of life. Week 1, verses 1 to 3, reminded us that children benefit our intergenerational community by keeping us humble in a receptive posture to God. Week 2, last week, verse 4 showed that adults benefit all of us by actively partnering with God to bring more of heaven on earth, more of heaven to earth, both externally in our world and internally within ourselves. This week, week 5, we will embrace the stage of life that I'll call old age. Nobody gave me a better one, and I gave you full permission. I heard blessed, I heard seasoned, I heard crotchety, I heard it all. We're just sticking with old age. That'll be that. And that's going to be in verse 5 today. And like the past 2 weeks, because we're anchored in Psalm 23, if you are planning to memorize it with me, I invite you to say it with me. It's going to be up on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Welcome to verse 5. 3 weeks in, and we are already at old age. Don't you feel proud and accomplished of yourself? I got one laugh for that. Thank you. My jokes are terrible. I'm sorry. Well, as we talk about the benefits of old age in verse 5, I want to confess that this is the first week that I'm out of my element. I quite haven't hit this stage of life yet. But, several wonderful folks who are in this stage of life have read over the message and they've given me the thumbs up. So rest assured, the message has been approved. And caveat, if I'm wrong, let me know. All right? Like, Tim, yeah, it's actually not quite like that. All right, please let me know. So with that, let's get in. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What I've been noticing in this little mini-series is that each week builds upon the previous weeks. And I really want to point that out here. We cannot get into old age without first going through childhood and then adulthood ourselves. This means that verses 1, 2, and 3, and 4, they all lay the groundwork, well, in our case, the table for verse 5. You prepare a table before me. It's true that God has always been with you. Just like verse 4 declared and verses 1 through 3 demonstrated, well, then by the time you get to old age, God, it seems, is ready to sit down with you, whether you want to interact with him or not. And the two of you are not alone. God invites others to gather around you as well, your enemies. Isn't enemy a strong word? Who likes that word, right? Ew. Who really calls people enemies anymore? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, the writer, King David, way back in Israel's history, he had enemies that wanted him dead, big time. He was a king, after all. Given the opportunity, his enemies would have killed him without hesitation. But in today's world, in our world, it's pretty easy to stay away from the people who bother you. And with so many laws and guidelines that stop kind of the escalation of people really becoming enemies, and with so much to do, who has time for enemies? There might be a person or two that hates your guts or wishes that you were dead at some point. But more than likely, there's someone in your life that you'd, well, be quite happy to never see again. Or that they would be happy to never see you again. If you've ever read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we'll get to that in the coming months, you'll remember that Jesus brings our external actions and our internal motivations into the same discussion. Kind of like last week when we were talking about adulthood, where we talked about adults partnering with God to bring more of heaven, right, both externally to the world and internally to ourselves. It seems to me that this is exactly the kind of table talk that God has in store for verse 5, for us in verse 5. In old age, God checks in with you, kind of like a review of your life. How has your life gone? How have your actions played out in your family, in your community, in your world? Who have you hurt? Who have you damaged? Do you have any enemies? How have you been tending your inner life, your hopes and your dreams, your motivations, your struggles? How have you partnered with me, God asks, regarding your anxieties and your fears and your anger and your judgmental pride? How has it played out with showing love and grace and mercy to others and even to yourself? How has asking for and offering forgiveness been going? Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It seems like God is inviting you in your old age to take stock of your life, to take an inventory of your outer and your inner world with him and hypothetically with those who have criticisms against you. What stories of you would they tell? What would the very people that you don't want to speak about you have to say about you? Who do you wish you could forget about? Who comes to mind and heart right now? Oof. I thought adulthood was difficult. I mean, I'll pass on this whole "you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies" thing. You can have that all to yourself. But the reality is that life catches up with us in old age. The good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. God seems to bring all of your life thus far into consideration and conversation. What an exposing time, right? I mean, in old age, if you have kids, if you raise kids, you could really see the mark that you left on them, for better or for worse. In old age, your reputation and your character can no longer be hidden. You've lived too much life to be able to hide who you really are. Too much time has passed. In old age, your body is no longer able to hide the true nature of your character and your soul. It doesn't really have the strength anymore. If you didn't tame your anger and your bitterness throughout your adulthood, well, guess what? Anger and bitterness is what's going to be coming out, whether you want it to or not. But the other side is true also, and praise the Lord, thank you. That if you spent years actively being kind to others, being generous with your resources, affectionate with your love, well, then the light that has been stored up in your heart is going to shine all the brighter to others. And in reality, aren't we kind of a combination of both of those? So let's take a breath right here real quick. I don't want us to get swallowed up in all this confession. For soon, assurance is going to come. So just hang in there. We're close. I guess the Proverbs really are true. God will not be mocked. We cannot escape this sow and reap principle. I mean, generally speaking, many of our scriptural kind of proverbs reveal that what you sow, what you act, what you do, you will reap. You will gather. But all this proves God to be true to his word. Your life, regardless of how you've conducted yourself, God's honor remains intact because the truth of your life is revealed. The fruit of your choices and actions will ripen. The question is, what kind of fruit has your life produced? That was hard, wasn't it? But we made it. Confession time, my friends. We've had our veggies. Who's ready for dessert? So God, while it's true that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, in that same sentence, you see, it's a semicolon. It's not a period at the end of that sobering statement. It goes on. It says, "You anoint my head with oil." And I actually encourage you, just take a snapshot of that slide up there. This is what scriptural anointing is about. "You anoint my head with oil." With my entire life laid bare, all vulnerable and transparent, with so many of the consequences of my life before me and around me, with everyone able to see what the product of my life's choices and actions have become, you anoint my head with oil. You lift your countenance to me. Your face is shining. Your voice is encouraging. But God, I'm not a little kid anymore, not knowing right from wrong. I know what right is, and it's painfully obvious to me now. I know so much of the wrong that I've done as well. Oh God, how did I ever get here? Even so, you anoint my head with oil. You continue to bless me, continue to call me by name, and you continue to equip me for service. But Lord, I'm not in the prime of my life any longer. What can I do these days to undo the damage that I've caused? For so much of it, I can't go back. I can't undo what I've done. I don't even think I have the strength even if I could. And with unwavering delight, you anoint my head with oil. You grant me your strength, God, your power. You don't want me to give up or get into despair. Lord, I'm laid before you. I'm completely at your mercy. Oh God, have mercy on me. Be gentle, be kind, and with gentle hands, you anoint my head with oil. You set me apart, God. You commission me to continue in the good works that you had made for me. For you were with me. And my cup overflows. My cup overflows. How could it not? In the inevitable table that God invites you to sit at, honestly appraising your life and all therein. And maybe sometimes this takes place at night, lying in bed, staring into the endless dark, unable to fall asleep. God is with you. His rod, his staff, his continued shepherd-like protection and guidance, well, they comfort you. There is no escape from the way God has set up the rules of the universe. There's no escape from this sowing and reaping principle, but there is a way through it. Like the Israelites at the shore of the Red Sea, with the accumulation of their past lives in the form of chariots and horses and whips, barreling towards them in the form of Egypt's armies, unable to escape, God makes a way. And this time, for our purposes in Psalm 23, this time it's by filling your cup to overflow. As a child, you couldn't help but to be vulnerable and transparent. You just were. But now, in old age, with the accumulation of all that you have learned, all of your hard-earned wisdom and cautionary tales and victories and scars that you bear, you are invited to be vulnerable and transparent again. But this takes enormous bravery and courage. So, what is the benefit of having our old age folks with us in community? There are two, from what I can tell, there are two main benefits. One honors God directly, and the second honors everyone else, but both have the opportunity to honor you. So first, in old age, you honor God directly. You've lived a lot of life and God is still with you. Not for a moment has he left you. In your life, God proves his Exodus 34 character, that he is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast loving kindness and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. He proves his character in your life. in view of every single moment of every single day in your life, God has been the ultimate faithful witness in deep and profound ways and continually remains faithful to you, just like he said he would. So praise be to our Lord. And you are blessed all the more, for he sees you with perfect clarity. He knows you through and through. He's experienced you. He's interacted with you. And he joyfully loves you beyond comprehension. What an honor. What a blessing. What a benefit for us, for all of us, to behold. So the second benefit in old age is that you honor everyone else. But this one's on a sliding scale. To the degree, we're going to be using degrees now, to the degree that you open up your life for the consideration of others is to the degree that you will bless them. The life you lived has become in its own way a proverb, a story, a tale of what happens. The victories and the successes that you have, well, us younger generations, we need to see it. We need to learn from your successes. Show them off for our benefit. But we also need you to show us your failures as well. And this is kind of where the bravery and the courage comes in. We need you to show us your failures and your mess ups. I mean, isn't failure the best teacher sometimes? Us younger generations, we need to learn from your cautionary tales. You know where some of life's landmines and pitfalls are. Help us guide us through the valley of the shadow of death. You've been there before. Help us navigate the uncertainties and the complexities of life. You have so much to share, and you've got perspective on it. To the degree that you, in old age, make your life available to us, your juniors, is the degree that you will bless us and you will partner with God for our benefit. But wait, there's more. To the degree that you share your life with us, you will also receive our blessing to you as well. In offering your life story to the rest of us, you can be for us fountains of wisdom and experience to then be honored, venerated, valued, seen as the treasure troves that you truly are to the rest of us. This is how it works. This is by God's design. He pours the blessing of a life lived into your cup such that it overflows, it thereby blessing the younger generations, I guess, underneath you. In this way, in vulnerability and transparency, you offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, partnering with him to bring more of heaven to our community. And honestly, you model for the rest of us what it's like, what it looks like, what it's experienced like when your life is held in the hands of God. We get a preview. And in such an intergenerational community, practicing humility and generosity, and receiving grace and value and veneration, the old hounds of loneliness and regret and shame of past mistakes and sins that have been tracking you down, nipping at your heels, they begin to lose their scent. For now you are enveloped in a community that needs and values you, all of you. And in this dynamic, you may find that you can still, in old age, heal and be restored. In God's community, you may find the energy to reconcile some of those old wounds and relationships that you thought were impossible to mend. You may even find yourself beginning to dream again of what might be possible. And for us, as your community, to witness God's continued faithfulness, to watch your story continue to unfold in marvelous and heavenly possibilities, what a glorious and beautiful benefit that would be for all of us. So be courageous. Take courage. Open your life up for the rest of us. Would you pray with me? So God, you call us to real things, heavy things. You call us to reality. You don't want us to run away or to distract ourselves, to numb ourselves, to lie to ourselves. You want the truth, because in the truth, we get to experience your love. We get to experience your grace and your compassion and your mercy. You've always been with us. You've always been with us. You've never left us. Man. And now you want us to give our lives and the truth of our lives to others. Lord, you got to help us in this. But you also declare that the riches, the benefit of that are enormous. So give us the bravery and give us that courage, Lord. Thank you for being with us. Amen.